Would you turn to the book of Ephesians, please? Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 11 here in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, to the Christians there, he says, "It was He," now the He there is Jesus, the Lord. "It was the Lord who gave some," and that's some of the Christians, "to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers." The word there, pastors and teachers, comes from one Greek word. So it's like pastoring teachers or shepherding teachers. It's not like two separate sections from what I can understand. And then he reads on, "to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." I want to share some passages of Scripture with you in light of the message that passage I read earlier. In Matthew chapter 28, which is the Great Commission that we hear about all the time, Matthew 28, the first part of it, verse number 20, it says, "And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." One of the requirements of followers of Jesus Christ is to teach the new followers and continue and teach the existing followers. We are to be taught what Jesus commanded, what Jesus expects. Going back to the book of Ephesians, this time in chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. He says there, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." And then you're to do something. That is, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We are to be taught everything God once commanded, or Jesus has commanded to be taught, and we're to be prepared to face the devil's schemes. We have to take action. We have to take steps to put on the full armor of God. While we're in the book of Ephesians, look at chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. It says there, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do" what? God's good works. The works God wants us to do, which God prepared for us in advance to do. If you will go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul, writing to this young minister in the faith, says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, so that the man of God, the person of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then I want to go to a couple of the Corinthian letters here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 4 through 7. He points out that there are different kinds of gifts that have been given to the people in the church, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So we've got many opportunities to serve, many opportunities to use our gifts. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in men. He says there in verse 7, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for" what purpose? "The common good." Everything that's been done, every gift that's been given in the church has been done so that we all may benefit from it. Whatever gift you've been received, it's for the common good of everyone else. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He has made us competent, able to do the job as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. We have a new covenant, not the one of the law, but the one of the Spirit. And he closes by saying, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We've been given competency to conduct this as ministers on his behalf. And the last passage I want you to look at here is Hebrews chapter 13. And go to verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you. The prayer is that may God equip us with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Christ Jesus. To Him be the glory forever and ever. All right, so we'll go back to our original text of Ephesians 4. I wanted you to aware that this is just not an isolated thing here and there, but letters to the churches, letters to individual, general doctrinal letters that He is sending out. He's reminding us that we have a task to be done, and He has equipped us. He's given us gifts of the Spirit to be able to get these things done. He wants us to be able to grow and become what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to take our stand against the evil one. As the church has become more contemporary over the years, and in many ways it's good in so many facets, but one of the things that a lot of the churches have become is what's called seeker-friendly. And there's nothing wrong with being seeking people to come, is there? There's nothing wrong with that I know of. We want people to come. But a lot of times what's happened is everything at some of these church services is tailored strictly for the visitor. There's not a whole lot of depth, doctrine being taught. The idea is to keep people coming. And then they're hoping that they'll start going to classes, what we would call Sunday school class or small groups or life groups or whatever. They're hoping to go to these where they can deepen it. They still want people to deepen things, but they're not trying to use the primary worship service like we're doing today. A lot of us older guys, we still see the Great Commission from the standpoint when the church gathers, it's Christians gathering, and one of our tasks is to teach you to obey all that God has commanded. One of our tasks is to equip you as Christians already so that you can do the jobs that you've been called to do, so that you can do the ministry of reconciliation, so that you can do the job of ministering to the lost, that you can reach out to people struggling, going through difficult times. That's part of our jobs to equip. And this is the most attended service during the week, is it not? This is the most attended. Sunday school does not come anywhere near. There was 34 this morning in Sunday school. Sunday night will not come near it. It averages in the 20s on Sunday night. Midweek Bible study is not going to accomplish it. We got like 25 that are interested in midweek Bible study. The women's study group is not going to accomplish it. But collectively, all of them can do what? Help to teach and train. Hopefully they're seeker-friendly. But if not, you know, right now our job is to teach that second part of the Great Commission. All that Jesus has commanded. He wants us taught that. Here in the book of Ephesians, as you notice here, Jesus knows what he wants us to do. He knows what we need. Look at verse 11, if you would, please, in Ephesians 4. It says there, it was He. Again, that's the Lord. And He gave some to be these particular types of offices, the type of workers in the kingdom. He gave apostles. Now, most of you are familiar, especially if you attended and the Sunday school class recently. You know who the apostles of the church are. You know that they established the church. They set things up. But Jesus is the one that picked out who those apostles would be so that the message of God would get out. So we know how the church is supposed to conduct business. He gave some to be prophets who could, they were not apostles, but they could deliver messages from God, speak on behalf of God. And in the early church, there were a number of prophets, and they spoke. Now, we're going to part company with some parts of the church world because we believe that the office of apostle and prophet is something that only God gives, and that it was primarily for the first century until the Word of God was established. How do you know the Word of God is established? If you don't already have it in your hand or on your phone as an app, it's in the pew as well. What is it? The Bible. The Word of God is out. We don't need any more revelation, do we? We have all we need. So we believe the apostles and the prophets put out the revelation. Some people disagree with us and still believe there's prophets today, and they still believe there's apostles today, and those type of things that can put out new doctrine. If they're going to put out new stuff, then they ought to be writing another book to the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. But that's just me. But he gave those two. Then we move into this next part after you leave the word prophets. He then says, and some to be evangelists, to be the herald of good news, to proclaim good news. That's what an evangel does. Puts the word out, shares it with others. Do we need evangelists today? And the answer, of course, is yes. So then he said, and some to be pastors and teachers. The pastors and teachers, the pastoral teaching part, the shepherding part, that is for our elders to do. Now you recognize here that this is sort of those who are perceived leaders in the church. The preacher slash evangelist and the pastor slash teacher who's the shepherd, the elders of our churches and stuff. He gave those to us for a purpose. Remember, the overall goal is to build up the church, right? The overall goal is for you and me to not still be putting on diapers in the infant nursery of spiritual kingdom, right? I'm not supposed to still have somebody walking over sticking a bottle in my mouth if I've been around this long. By now, I should know how to do grown-up stuff in the church. Now, you realize I'm using metaphor, imagery, whatever English term you want to stick to it. But that's what we're talking about. It's time to not be still a baby in Christ if you've been in the church any length of time. You're not supposed to still having to be begged to come to church. You're not still supposed to... I can take communion or not take communion. I can give or not give. I mean, you got to get past the baby stage. You got to get past that part. You got to get past the toddler stage. You got to get past that little running around in trouble early elementary stage, four-year-old, five-year-old, laughing and joking and having a good... It's time to grow up. Well, to help you grow, he gave us these different jobs, these different positions. So the evangelists, the elders, they at the church, they make sure we have teachers, they make sure we have instruction so that the Word of God can get out, so that people can obey all that God wants them to do, and so they can identify their gifts and their works of service. If you don't have a work of service, ask God why not. Ask God, why do I not have a work of service? Is it because I'm too lazy to identify it? Is it because I just lack the knowledge? Have I not been trained? What is my work of service? What is the work of service that every Christian has? Make disciples. Every Christian has the job to make disciples. Sometimes it's hard to do, isn't it? Somebody, you get into a discussion with somebody and they start asking questions that's beyond your particular knowledge at the time. So you run to your phone or text message or whatever. You get up with one of the elders or the minister and you say, hey, I'm having trouble with this one. This guy's got me stumped. What should I say? Well, that happens. But overall, who can tell, who is the best one to tell what Jesus has done in your life? You're the best one. Is your life any better because Jesus Christ came in your life? Do you have more patience? Do you have more love? Do you have more gentleness? Do you have more kindness? Do you have more goodness? If you don't realize what I'm doing the fruit of the Spirit. Every Christian has the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Some, you go to the grocery store, I like to go in there and I like to get some grapes, or I like to get some strawberries, some blueberries and things. Sometimes you go in, there's a whole bunch of them. And then other days you go in, there's not quite as much. But they always have it. They may not have it in large quantities. The fruit. Yeah. You go in, pick out your fruit. Well, we've got lots of fruit on our tree of life, our spiritual life. We've got lots of fruit. And God wants us to partake of it. How much of the fruit of the Spirit can you have? All and never enough. You can take all you want. Now, if I walked into a store and just started taking their fruit and walked out without paying for it, now I'm not allowed to do that. But as Christians, through the Holy Spirit, we have access to the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against it. You can have all the love, all the peace, all the goodness, all the kindness, all the gentleness, all the... you just go down the list. You can have all that you want. So how do you get more of it if you want to have more? It's the fruit of the Spirit. How do you get more? Read the Word. That is going to be a major help. Pray. Hang out with Christians that will share more with you about the fruit of the Spirit. And you can interchange and share more. You may have a lot more love than I have. I may be in a situation where someone has just alienated me. And you're one of these people that just overflows with love. And you keep saying, Ron, but you got to love them. Ron, you got to love them. And I don't want to love them. I want to kill them. No, Ron, Jesus Christ didn't do that to you, did he? No, he let you live. Have the same mercy. You can do those things. You can have more kindness. I may not be as kind a person as you are, but if I keep hanging out with you, what's going to happen with my fruit of the kindness? It's going to increase. So look for different ways to do that. But Jesus knows what we need, and he gave us these men in the church to make sure things are taught and laid out there so that we can be the Christians and servants that he wants us to be. In verse 12, it says here, he knows what he wants us to do. And I've been touching on this. Look at verse 12. What are the purpose of these offices in the church? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity in faith. But he's prepare works of service for God's people. We are to be built up. I was blessed to have been able to play some sports in school. Certainly not the premier athlete. I'd love to have been the top dog, but I was one of the ones that had to block for the guy scoring the touchdown. Not that I scared anybody when I come running at you, but I had to do those type things. Or I'm the one that had to pass the basketball to the guy that could shoot the winning shot. Or in baseball, I could get on base so that the other guy could drive you in. Things like that. I was blessed to have a little bit of that. And also ran track. But what I'm getting to is I stayed in pretty good shape. So in August of 1971, when I reported at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, I came in at about 138 pounds, 135, something like that, which was a comfortable weight for me. I could run all day long. And I made out fine. But there were guys that came in that were not ready for basic training. And I really felt for one guy, his name was Stanley. He was prior service, and he'd been out for quite a while, and he decided to go back in, and on the condition of going back in, he had to go back through basic training again. And he was about 32 years old. And when you're running around with a bunch of young pups, 18 years old, that's hard to do. I mean, we encouraged him and strengthened him, but he was not ready. He had not worked out. How can you get ready for something? You exercise, you run, you get yourself ready for something like that. As Christians, we're supposed to be building ourselves up, making ourselves stronger. If God needs you as a teacher in His church 5 years from now, He's probably prodding you to learn some things now, and He's probably asking you to assist in a class every now and then, so that 5 years from now, you'll be ready to teach that class. He also may be talking to some of you men about the fact, look, you've been a Christian for a while, you've been developing a little bit. I need you as a deacon. I need you as one of our servants in the church to oversee one of the ministries that we have running. I need you to do that. If you're not ready right now, then would you start getting yourself ready so when the time comes, I can use you, I can pull you in and get that ministry up and running and keep it going? Are you ready for that? We can go down the list of things. Maybe some of you need to be preparing men for the day you'll become an elder in the church. I don't want you sitting here 60 years old saying, well, I just don't know enough of the Bible. How long have you been going to church? 40-some years? 50 years? When do you think you're ever going to learn enough? When are you ever going to put the pedal to the metal and get involved? Are you just going to coast through life and just show up on Sunday mornings and that's it? If you have all the qualifications for an elder, then you should be stepping forward to become one. If you don't have them, take a look at them and say, God may need me someday, and I need to be ready. When did God get Moses ready to lead his people? Got any ideas? Here's what I think he did from birth. He made sure he had a mother who would teach him the things of the Hebrew people. And then he placed him in Pharaoh's court, as Pharaoh's adopted son, if you will, and taught him all the ways of the Egyptians. So when the time came, even though Moses didn't want the job, God was able to use him to lead his people out of Egypt. Remember, Moses said, I can't talk. They think he was a stutterer. He said, I can't talk. So what did he do? He said, no problem. Aaron will talk for you. But have you ever read that part of the Bible? What happens in time? It's not Aaron talking anymore, is it? Who's the one talking? Moses. Once he overcame his weakness, he could just go ahead and do the job God called him to do. And there's a bunch of other situations like that. When was David prepared to be king of Israel? Yeah, he's out there. I mean, that had to be the smelly old sheep, chasing lions and bears off with your sling and staff. What did people think of him? Samuel was supposed to pick the next king based on God's guidance. What did Samuel think of him? Hey, it's got to be this guy, the tallest, strongest, best looking in the family. No, next one, next one. Next. Finally, he said, you got any more sons? We're out of them. He said, yeah, I got one out in the field. Well, bring him in. That's the one God wanted. But God had prepared him. Now, God did not use him right away. God allowed Saul to remain king for a while. But when the time came, David, who had shepherded sheep, was qualified to shepherd people in God's eyes. So, God's going to be willing to prepare you. Men, step up. Not just, maybe you're not supposed to be an elder or a missionary or a deacon or whatever, but step up. Be the leader in your home. In most homes in America, the wife, the mother, whatever, leads the family in spiritual matters because the man won't step up to the plate. The man will not step up and lead his family in family devotions, in church attendance, and he just won't step up. So in most of our homes, 70-80% of our homes, it's the woman who's taking the lead. But statistics tell us that in homes that the man takes the lead, the children are more likely to grow up and be servants of Jesus Christ. That male role model means so much. So men in the home, step up. Be a strong man for God. Show your children you're a man of faith. Show your children you're a man of prayer. Let everyone know in your family. You got to be humble about it, but don't sit there and just continue to, I don't know, may go to church today, may not. I got this to do, I got that to do, I got prayer, I got bills to pay. We got vacation to go. There's a lot of things. I love my family. I'm going to put family first no matter what. Let them see that who's first in your life. It doesn't hurt to say his name. Let God be first. Now, anybody here perfect? Greg Steer, who was a professor at Mid-Atlantic Christian University, but at the time it was Roanoke Bible College, he made a statement that I heard. I never had him as a teacher. He came after I was graduated. But he made a statement one time. He said, the person who needs to repent the most when they hear the sermons that are preached that I bring is me. I have failed my God far too often. So men, if you're feeling weak because Satan's beating you down because you failed, that's fine. Satan's going to try his best to keep you down. But who can lift you up? Who can raise you up? Who can make you into something that Satan will fear? Think about it. Step up. God is trying to prepare us for works of service, and He's using the leaders in the church to do that. And He has a stated goal. He has a stated goal. Again, look at the latter part of verse 12 and verse 13. He says there, He's prepared His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We are supposed to be doing this job until there's complete unity in the body of Christ, and especially in the local church. And we're supposed to be doing this until everybody in the church is a mirror image of what Christ is. When does that job get done? Does it ever get done? No, but it's our goal. It's our goal. We are to keep trying and keep working until everybody in the church is fully grown in Jesus Christ. That they're not running around with their diapers hanging on them all wet. But they're old enough to change themselves. Old enough to start growing, start learning. We don't have to teach them kiddie songs anymore. They can learn adult stuff. We're supposed to do that. So church, this year, let's take the challenge. Let's not be satisfied at the end of this year. I will know as much Bible as I started the year. I will have prayed as much regularly as I still prayed before the year started. I will hang out at church no more than I hung out the year before. I will not volunteer for anything anymore, just like I haven't volunteered anything more. Is that your goal for the end of the year? No. Be the Christian God has called you to be. Be His shining light. Step up and serve Him. He wants us built up. He wants us to be all that we can be for Him, to borrow from another saying from someone else. Be equipped. Be built up. Be fashioned for service. A piece of pottery, how does it become a vase? Think about it. How does it become a vase? I loved going up to Williamsburg a long time ago when the pottery factory was more of a pottery factory. But you go in there and they would just start making things, remember? And the person working it, there's no way I could have pulled it off. I guess maybe if you practice it enough. The person would just work it, and you'd see them not satisfied once in a while, take it back down, then bring it back. But they just would work it, and they shaped it into what they wanted it to be. It started out as clay, basically ends up as clay. Instead of being soft clay, it's become hardened, but it has become what that person wanted it to be. We are the clay. He's the potter. If you will let Him, He will shape you into exactly what He wants you to be, what He needs you to be, so that the work of making disciples and the building up of the church can get done. Consider this today. Consider giving yourself fully and completely into the hands of the Master Potterer, who will shape you into what He wants you to be. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. And we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined your fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.